In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Assalamu alaikum. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, from Atlanta, Georgia. Our topic tonight, with America's involvement abroad, Africa in particular, what will it do to her domestic relations at home? Tonight, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, we have Brian E. Muhammad, the contributing writer of the most powerful newspaper, The Final Call News. Brother Brian is at the round table to talk about what's going on in the international front, Africa, the Middle East, and the Caribbean islands. Also, boots on the ground. We will salute some of the cities with the fruit of Islam, who have their boots on the ground with the Final Call News and are helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in our communities. So sit back, buckle up, let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. I greet the listening audience tonight with the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Well, welcome to our special edition of Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. We will not have a full show tonight due to our Nation of Islam webathon that will start at 7 o'clock Central Time. Meantime, we have a very special guest tonight. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to study what is on distant shores, for it will soon be at your door. Tonight we have with us the contributing writer of the Final Call News, an assistant to Brother Akbar Muhammad, who is the international representative and ambassador of the Nation of Islam. Our brother, let's welcome him to the line tonight, Brother Brian E. Muhammad. Brother Brian, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. I'm so honored to be on this show, a show that's dedicated to our work of resurrection and restoration of our people. And I just want to say to your listening audience, I'm happy to be here, brother.
All praise is due to Allah, and thank you for coming in tonight, brother, sitting at the round Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable tonight. Let's get started. Let's talk a little bit about your history a little bit. You were on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's, I believe it was the last World Friendship Tour?
Yes, sir. I was privileged to be on that trip with him. And, you know, at the time, it was such a surprise to me, you know, because at the time we were on the ground. I was living in Ghana at the time, and when Brother Akbar gave me the word that they wanted me to travel with them, you know, as an aid to him, you know, administrating the trip and whatnot, and I was on it. So, yes, I was on that trip, and it was, I would say, the experience of my life.
Wow. Tell me, what was it like? Walk us through some of the scenes. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Africa, what was that like?
Wow. I mean, first, I think that we need to put in context the fact that friendship had been made for him and for the Nation of Islam throughout the world. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went on a world tour, if you will, an overseas tour in 1959 going into early 1960 that took him to the Sudan, to Pakistan, to Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and there may have been a couple other places in there. But there were friendships that was made. And so in the rebuilding work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the work that the Nation of Islam, the body of work that it has done even up to 1975 and then in the rebuilding, there has been a world that has been waiting for the advent of the Nation of Islam on the world scene. And with the prominence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was known throughout the world, but I would say it was accelerated after the Million Man March, and that allowed him to be called on by world governments and different people around the world to bring this message of reconciliation and atonement because of a world that was in so much trouble. And so the minister has been a healing voice in that globally. And so that was the spirit of the World Friendship Tour. I mean, just look at the name World Friendship Tour. But
right.
The underlying theme was reconciliation, atonement, and, you know, and unity and peace. This was what he was trying to accomplish and encourage wherever he went. I mean, it was an experience.
How was he received in Africa and the Muslim world?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah, well, I you know, he was received well. You know, I always like to refer back to certain places in the Far East, for example, when we were in Bangladesh and the scene after he spoke at a mosque there. I mean, I don't know the count, but I mean it was in the thousands, and they literally mobbed him. And if you watch the film, there was a compilation of that trip that's out on DVD, and that's where you see him looking like he's trying to leave a building, and it wasn't like you can even walk. You had to just move with the flow of the people. You know, it was so many people showing him love. And then I think the highlight of that, out of many highlights for me, was witnessing how he was received in Mecca. Because when we were in Mecca, we were there the last 10 days of Ramadan of that year. And when he was in the precincts of the mosque and doing his ritual around the Kaaba, and now you have to understand, doing Umrah, which is like a minor Hajj outside of the Hajj season, doing that during the last 10 days of Ramadan is equivalent to doing Hajj. The amount of people from all over the world that was there, and when they began to hear and it began to circulate that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan was in the precincts of the mosque, the people began to converge on him. And they weren't converging on him to debate his akida or his teachings or his, you know, interpretation of Islam. They were not converging for debate. They were converging because this man that they see standing up in the belly of the beast, because America is a beast to the rest of the world now. I mean, don't make no mistakes about it. You know, living and standing within the most powerful, imperialist power on the planet, speaking as he's speaking truth to power, they converged on him out of love. They just wanted to shake his hand and hug him. They just wanted to touch him and meet him. And it got so critical. I mean, that's critical love, you know. The palace guards, I mean, it's the police, but they call them palace guards in Mecca. They had to literally come around him and the delegation in order for him to finish, you know, the rituals there that was required at the Kaaba. And but again, the shared love was tremendous. It was unbelievable. And he's known throughout the world. And I just want to say this, brother, on the minister and his global reputation, if you will. You know, he's looked at as an elder statesman. You know, we know that he was involved in and at those early meetings at the formation of the African Union. And
right.
And one of those trips, among the heads of states, him, Daniel Ortega, Kenneth Kaunda, who was the former president of Zambia, they were received and treated as the elder statesmen of our struggle, of our historical struggle on the continent. Of course, Daniel Ortega being from Nicaragua, representing Central and South America, you know. But he was received, and he's looked upon like this among many of the leaders in Africa and among the masses of people. He's looked at as an elder brother and leader and guide. This
wow.
is the way he's viewed.
What about with the African leaders and with the minister, with his ability to speak truth to power? Can you talk to any experiences that you may have received with him, with maybe some of the leaders of Africa when he would speak over there on the continent with Muammar Gaddafi and other of the great leaders of the African continent?
Yeah, I think that the minister is a man of high integrity. And I just want those who may be on the air listening who may not be Muslims or who may not ascribe to him as their leader and their teacher, this is not what you call just sheer personality. You know, is it bias? Obvious. If you dedicate your life to the movement and the work that he is leading, yes. But in truth, I'm telling you what I've personally observed, and if somebody, as you're asking me, I'm answering from a personal observation that if I have to describe the minister among these other leaders, I would say this is a man of tremendous honesty, of tremendous integrity, because he does not do things to seek gain. You know, it's like the Holy Quran says, do no favors seeking gain.
Right.
So this is his relationship, but this is how he relates. So whenever there were even those of that were friends of ours and has helped the Nation of Islam or aided the Nation of Islam in some way, it was not that aid that was the driving and motivating force in how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan dealt with them. In terms of critical analysis, you know, guidance, if he felt that they were going in a direction that was detrimental to them and their people, as a brother and as a friend, he will speak that without worrying about, you know, what little bit these leaders may come to the table that may be a beneficial to the Nation of Islam. You know, he speaks truth to power. If you go back to your listeners, go and listen and obtain, if you can, and I'm sure you can order it through store.finalcall.com, the Gabon, the African-American Summit of the late Leon Sullivan, Reverend Leon Sullivan, in Gabon. It was a leadership summit, and he was speaking to heads of states, he was speaking to leaders, and he had to really criticize them on a number of fronts, and I'm watching the video as they scan the heads of states, some of them becoming very uncomfortable because they're not used to people talking to them like that. They're used to people just kowtowing so that they can get, again, whatever benefit that they may be able to get from them. But the minister is not that type of man. The minister will speak truth to you because he's speaking what is best and what is good for you and your people and for the rest of our collective people around the world. So if he has to criticize, he will criticize, but he criticizes from the motivation of love and concern, but my point is he's not somebody who grubs so he can remain and have access to these people that have the world's resources. You know, this is not the type of man that we are with. He's
right.
high integrity, brother. High integrity.
Yes, sir. Well, let's look into some current events on what's going on international shores today. Brother Akbar had wrote in one of his timely articles, the NATO North Atlantic Treaty Organization destroyed Gaddafi with reckless disregard. It opened the floodgates for destabilization of Africa. Brother Brian, what is going on in Africa? That whole thing with Libya, I take it that what he's saying, that from the assassination and murder of Muammar Gaddafi and the overthrow of the government in Libya, that opened up the floodgates. Can you speak to that? What say you?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, Brother Gaddafi, see, his death, you know, we're taught, and you know, and I'm sure that many have heard the Honorable Minister Farrakhan say this, that, you know, you can't really write a biography or the history of a man or the life of a man until Allah puts a period to that man's life.
Right.
And then you can assess. Well, in the assessment of Muammar Gaddafi, things come out that the mass public may not realize because of the propaganda noise of his enemies. And so he was a stalwart against the presence of Western imperialist movement throughout the continent. It was contained while Brother Gaddafi was here because he was able to hold that back, but also influence other African leaders. I'll give you an example. Africa, the U.S. African command on the continent. You know, when it was started, I think it was 2007 or somewhere there, it was rejected because they wanted to have it headquartered somewhere naturally in Africa, if it's for Africa. You see, they could not find people on the African continent, governments that would receive them, allow them to set up a base for AFRICOM. And that's why up until this year, AFRICOM was based in Germany. They operated
right.
The African command all the way in Germany. Because Brother Gaddafi was able to say no, and he influenced a lot of African leaders. Why? Because in the formation of the African Union, Brother Gaddafi not just lifted the vision of a united Africa and what that represented, but he also put the resources of Libya behind financing that idea. And he did much investments in many African countries, you know, around the continent. So whether they liked him or not, they listened to him because he had power and sway to stop certain decisions that they would have made. And many of these decisions, like allowing AFRICOM and the militarization of Africa and what's going on now, is done because they fear Europe and they fear the Western countries more than they fear the viable future of their people, you know, being damaged. So this is what Brother Akbar was saying, that, you know, it with the downfall of Libya, it knocked that stalwart out the way. And now the true colors of these many weak African leaders are coming out. Africa is suffering from weak leadership, weak and fearful leadership. You know, and there's always been that dichotomy. When the AU was started, it was always the dichotomy of whether or not, you know, we're going to unite the whole continent or whether we'll go for what they call a regional unity. And to the enemy, regional unity is nothing but a big form of tribalism. And tribalism to the enemy equals divide and conquer. And you know what that means. And so that's what Brother Akbar was referring to. that the strength of the strength of holding the enemy back was lost when they were successful in eliminating our brother.
Right. And an article that you had wrote, Algeria Mali Crisis, Part of West Strategy to Dominate Africa's Resources. You were talking about the dozens of foreign nationals working for multinational energy companies were taken. Can you elaborate on what was that all about in Mali that continues to go on today?
Well, what happened was that and all of this ties into the fall of Libya.
Right.
See, when Libya fell, there were groups that, such as the Tuaregs, which is a group that is scattered throughout northern Africa. They're found in Algeria, Niger, they're found in Mauritania, they're found in Mali, they're found in... But historically, they have always had a battle for self-determination. And they are marginalized. Let me put it this way. They're marginalized in all of these countries that they have populations in. And so when Gaddafi gave many of them safe haven, you see, and so it was said by, you know, analysts that when they were in this battle to overthrow Gaddafi, these groups received training. They became battle hardened. So when they had to leave Libya because there was no more safe haven, remember, these people who are ruling Libya now, and I say that these are worse than the lies that they even accused Gaddafi of over the years. These people are worse. They are what they only accused Brother Gaddafi of. You
mm-hmm.
see? And so you saw the killing of dark-skinned Libyans and other African nationals who were living in Libya, you see, because of this Arab racism, which we have to be very careful of, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very careful in how we explain that, because there is a racism there that has to be dealt with. And so these people left, the Tuaregs, as they call, left, and went back into their respective countries where they were from. So in Mali, they empowered, I guess, with their newfound training, they lifted up their issue of self-determination. And this is where they began to take over certain areas like Timbuktu and Gao and they began to take these places over. But then you also have those who was trained by the West, these Salafist groups, who it gets a little skewed because this is where they talk about Al-Qaeda and they talk about groups like that, Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb. Now, the hypocrisy is America, while they were fighting them in Afghanistan and Pakistan and that part of the world, they were financing them and paying them as paid soldiers to overthrow Gaddafi. And that
wow.
element is ended up in Mali. So now you had the Tuaregs who weren't necessarily trying to set up an Islamist, as they call, situation, but they did have this thing for self-determination. This battle for self-determination. They got into it with the other Islamist group that was there that was really backed by the West. You see?
Okay.
And that's where that whole thing, and this was the catalyst. Now, in Bamako, when the coup took place in Mali in, I think it was March of 2012 or somewhere, they took the person, again, the coup leader, who did that was trained in the military schools in America.
Mm-hmm.
See? But he used it to overthrow the legitimate democratic government that was ruling Mali under the guise that government did not handle the situation with the Tuaregs and these Islamist groups in the north. That was his catalyst. But that wasn't the real catalyst. It was the West seeing an opportunity to cause confusion and continue and intensify confusion, because now they're looking at the resources. They're looking at, you know, control over resources. As the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said on several occasions, the West,
right.
He said America in particular, but the Western world cannot survive into the 21st century without having access to the resources of the world.
Well,
so now,
I like to
mm-hmm. sorry,
go ahead, sir.
So
go
now,
ahead, sir.
Now the battle that their presence in Africa, their elimination of the store of a stalwart like Gaddafi, who saw all of this, they are there. It's more than just even just business. I mean, we're gonna have access to your resources. It's the access to the resources as it relates to, as the minister pointed out, to their very survival.
And that's what I wanted to point out. In your article, you quote the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan by saying, America will never be a superpower in the 21st century if she doesn't have access to those strategic metals and minerals, said Nation of Islam Minister Louis Farrakhan on several occasions, giving analysis of the decline of the Western world. Let's talk about, right while we're here, that decline real quick. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in his divine and timely message, The Time and What Must Be Done, he talks about the decline. He says there are over 3 million people in America that are homeless. He said about 3.9 million homes went into foreclosure in 2011. In 2010, 3.8 million, and 29, 3.4 million, 08, 3 million. Total 13 million Americans lost homes in the last 5 years. He said that in The Time and What Must Be Done, he said in 2008, 25 banks failed, 2009, 140 banks, 2010, 157 banks, 2011, 92 banks, and 2012, 39 banks fail. Now, let me ask you, Brother Brian, what is the involvement right now in Africa with the United States as it relates to China's over there now, France is back in, they found a way to get back in. What say you to America's involvement right now in Africa?
Again, it's a matter of their future. See, just as you cited the minister's words and the evidence that the minister gave in the obvious decline of America, the fall of America, what he just mm-hmm. described, one of the things that's happening that's pushing that fall or playing a role in that fall, I don't say China is purposely working to push the fall of America, but their actions and their success is at lending weight to America's decline, because where America was once the number one trading partner throughout the continent, China has become that. And now you see a group of nations coming up, emerging powers. South Africa is one. You know, India, Russia is coming back, which is an interesting story in itself that you probably should have Brother Akbar on to even talk about the Russian peace and their comeback in all of this.
Would love to. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
And of course, China. See, so you have these emerging powers that's gaining influence in Africa, you know. And China, it does not, and it's not a perfect marriage, but China does not have the baggage of the imperialistic baggage that America and France and Britain have always brought to the table. China is building infrastructure, the contract to build roads, you know, that multi-million-dollar new headquarters for the African Union. China built that as a gift. you know, and they're doing structures like that all over the continent. They're establishing the natural gas and petroleum sectors in many countries throughout the continent. So they have become a force. So where America begins to lose economically, that's when they go gangster, and that's where AFRICOM comes in. The militarization of Africa, you know, now they're talking about the drone base that they're getting ready to set up in Niger. See, all of this is America's gangster move to take what she is losing in legitimate business competition.
Right.
And so, but again, the desperateness, because what you laid out on the domestic front that the minister said, you know, this is the catalyst because they got to go get that money. See, it's
right.
like you lose your job and you got a family to support. You see, you lose your job, your children ain't trying to hear, well, I just don't have it because of my circumstance. Your wife ain't trying to hear all of that. You see?
Right.
So not to say that you're going to go gangster, but I'm saying that the devil, in the way he thinks, he's going to go take what he got. In other words, he's doing what he got to do. It's like a drug boy's taking a corner. You talk to them, they'll justify it. We don't have no other way but to take it.
Right.
I mean, this is the mentality. So
right.
So it all relates because they see they have a future that is in total jeopardy and in decline.
Well, let me say this then, because study what is on distant shores, for it will soon be at your door. Words spoken by the eternal leader, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me say this in the time and what must be done. Mm-hmm. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan cited this. He said 12-13% of America is black, and we make up 72.7% of the almost 2.1 million
mm-hmm.
male inmates in jail or prison.
Yes.
He says one in every 10 is in prison or jail on any given day. More black men are incarcerated today than were enslaved in 1850. Would you say, Brother Brian, or is there a reason other than these crimes that they're saying that we're going to prison? Would this have anything to do with what's going on in Africa and America's involvement of going to war over the natural resources in Africa?
Well, it ties in. See, one is creating the circumstance for the need, for the urgency of the other. And so as we look at it like this, the minister, you know, we've been dealing now in this gun debate, this violence that has gripped America. And out of that, we know that there are millions, almost as many people populate America, you have as many guns in the homes of America.
Right.
We are, as black people, we do not, because we're still waking up. See, and this is where knowledge of self comes in. We do not operate based in the knowledge of ourselves. So we're not moving and calculating on life based on our best interest or our self-interest, because we don't know what that is. But white folks know what their self-interest is. And this is why, when just the sheer victory of a black man winning the White House emptied the gun stores.
Mm-hmm.
Just the re-election emptied the gun stores again, and they are really preparing for a day of all-out battle in the streets for what? For their survival. See, whether white folks in general know that their time is up, as the
mm-hmm.
wise of their people know the time and what must be done. You see, but the dumb ones know, and I don't mean that in an insult, because we don't mock. I'm not saying that in insult, but I'm saying that the masses of white people, they whether they know it in their conscious what time it is, they operate from enough knowledge of themselves to feel that they have an urgent matter on their hands that's a matter of survival. So who are the guns for? You see? So now America is losing economically.
Right.
America, and if you look at what's going on in Europe, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I heard the minister tell our brothers and sisters and the believers who are from the Caribbean who may be listening to us tonight, remember what the minister said to you. Those of you that's living in Europe and the descendants of the Caribbean and the descendants of Africa, he said, begin to get out of Europe. There's a day coming where everybody has to go back to their own, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that you have to prepare for when the day when Europe is in all-out war.
Right.
And to repeat what you said from him earlier, what you see going on over there will soon be over here. So these austerity measures where people have to make a sacrifice. What did the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tell us in Charlotte at the Holy Day of Atonement? This is a day that we have to make a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich have to make a sacrifice. Well, what happens when you live in a situation where you have not been told the truth of the real condition of America? So when you're asked to make a sacrifice, you're going to balk at that. And that's what that's what you see going on in Europe. They have to make a sacrifice, the people, everybody, if they're going to survive. But the people balked at that and went to the streets. So when they go to the streets with the over 3 million guns that's in their homes, who are they going to be shooting at? They're going to be shooting at the scapegoat, you and I, the Mexicans, the Hispanics, this and that one, who they see as the blame for the pressure on their precious white society. So it all ties in, brother, the suffering here in America and the moves that's being made around the world. But as we're taught, there's a God of justice, and they cannot continue to go from an imperialistic standpoint and kill with these drones and what they're doing around the world, and also really not deal with the situation here domestically that's causing so much pain among the masses of the people. God himself came to answer for that. Mm-hmm. So we're taught that he comes to do what? Set up a universal government of peace, when mm-hmm. we all can live in peace together. See? But but it's going to be structured not on imperialism, not on oppression, not on inequity. It's going to be structured on freedom, justice, equality, righteousness. And if you're not with that program, if you're not with that program, then you will be wiped off. So where they're planning genocide against us, as the minister said last Saturday, culling the population by a billion people, and they have chosen the darker people of the earth to be sacrificed. As you plan, Allah plans.
Well, let me ask you then.
Allah is the best of planners in this.
Yes. Let me ask you, Brother Brian, what is going on with the AIDS virus in Africa? Now, in the 90s, it was considered a disease among the homosexual community, and today it seems like it's mostly a black man and woman's disease. Can you speak to what's going on in Africa with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke on this and the time and what must be done as well. What's going on with the AIDS epidemic in Africa?
Sure. See, we have to put it in the context that he mentioned. White people, the European, and those Europeans who may be listening, see, we're not speaking in mockery. We're speaking as a people who are being awakened by a teaching and a, you know, and so we're speaking, at least I'm speaking from the standpoint of the responsibility of somebody who is becoming wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a people with an interest to a people with an interest, see, white folks' birth rate is null, zero, all around the world. And they saw this. They saw the demographics of America changing. They saw the demographics of the world. Now, we already, as we're taught, population-wise, the original people outnumber them 11 to 1. We know that. But if you are at 1 and you start diminishing, then things can get really critical in your mind. So the Honorable Minister Farrakhan talked about Henry Kissinger, the war criminal at large, which is another show to talk about that.
Yes.
You see, he came up with the idea, with some others, that they needed to cull the population of the earth. Right now, at that time, I don't know what it was, maybe it was 4 billion, maybe it was 3 billion when he started on this, but now we are at 7 billion people on this planet. See, so they read things just like we're taught. And then for the Muslims who know what I'm talking about, we're taught that we write our history 25,000 years in advance, right?
So that's right.
If we look into advance and write our history, don't you think they look into advance? They look into the future and read the demographics?
Absolutely.
And what handwriting is on that wall for them?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So the thing that we have to look at is we have to question if we are the original people and we've been on this planet not for 6,000 years but for trillions of years, and now all of a sudden a disease like AIDS and is wiping populations out. How did that come about? What happened? You see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? And there's many things that we got to look at. We got to look at these non-governmental organizations that spread out through Africa. You got to look at African nations that get vaccination. The medicine itself.
The
vaccines. Mm-hmm. Where they get vaccines from their enemies, who they don't know who is their enemy, because he comes as a sincere friend.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You know, these type of things go on and has gone on over the years, and now we may be seeing the residual effect of that. So the minister asked the question, is that perhaps why we see AIDS so rampant in the in Africa? And being that they chose people of the third world, as they call it, the third world, we also have the seed of the third world scattered throughout the earth. Brooklyn, Atlanta, Columbia, South Carolina, Chicago, London, England. Oh, we're not the Caribbean. So they have to look at where if we are the ones who's chosen to be eliminated. You think they're just focusing on one continent? No, they're focusing on wherever we are found.
Right.
See, now there's hope, and I just want to say this. There's hope in all of this. Again, I don't want to be a doomsday, and the minister's not a doomsday preacher, because he's also speaking about the time and what must be done, which will serve the ultimate reality that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us of, that they can never destroy the black man. We weren't successful, so certainly they will not be allowed.
Absolutely. Let me ask you in the few moments that we have remaining, and brother, I want to thank you again on behalf of Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam for your time tonight to come at the round table and talk to us tonight about this very important subject. And of course, you can hear a part two building up. I know you can hear it, because there's no way you're going to be able to cover this universal problem or situation in 45 or 50 minutes. So we definitely would appreciate, brother, we can set up another time where we can get back in here and get a part two going on. But let me ask you in the short amount of time that we have remaining, in the Caribbean islands, were you blessed to be with the minister in the islands?
No, not on this last. No.
Okay.
I watched it from a distance.
Okay. What do you see as far as the relationship? Because that's a very strategic alliance for us in America and our brothers in the Caribbean islands. What do you see in that relationship? What can be done? What can be accomplished with this? We're talking solutions here.
Okay. Well, the solution is, first and foremost, is establishing and fighting for and working toward the unification of the Caribbean. These little places, you know, small countries that are smaller than little towns in America, it doesn't make sense that you're trying to do something on your own. And again, those who want to continue exploitation, they will continue to do that so long as you are divided and is only acting in a limited self-interest. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has picked up the solution, which is unification. Now, what does that mean? That means, what can we practically do? That means those of you who are into commerce and trade, look at ways that you can do business in the countries down there. Look at ways that you can give service and exchange of products if this is what you have. Everything is, even in Africa, but in the Caribbean in particular, what he said to the brothers and sisters from the Caribbean, some of which I'm going to give you a good example. We have Brother Rahman, that from London, who relocated him and his family. I think he's in Barbados or Trinidad.
I think it's Barbados.
Yes, yes. Brother Rahman went there. He opened up business. And what the minister said to the brothers and sisters that as you go back home, because he already instructed them, start to get up out of Europe and go back. But when you go back, obviously you can't change stuff overnight. So you got to find how you can invest, what you can get into. But whatever you get into, and obviously what you get into, you're going to serve. If you're from Jamaica, you're going to serve Jamaica. If you're from St. Kitts, you're going to serve St. Kitts. But wherever you find yourself, work your nation, but keep the bigger picture in the forefront of your mind for the future of things, which is unification, Caribbean unification, a federation of the Caribbean, meaning one country, one Caribbean, like we talked about the United States of Africa. That is the solution. See, the minister is clear. We have to build study groups. We have to build mosques. Yes, that's a part of it. But I'm telling you what he said to the brothers and sisters from the Caribbean, his conversation was not so much the dynamics of religious institution, because that becomes part of your society. And for us as Muslims, it becomes central. But nation building is where you are at. This is where we have to build our minds when we start talking about the global scene and the international scene. Where will this fit in the scheme of nation building? Because this is the solution that you're going to have to go there with, you know, because a lot of the countries down there are suffering, and they can use your expertise. But if you just focused on, you know, building a little study group so you can have a place to preach, and you're going to have that in you. You're going to have a whole nation to preach to.
That's right.
But we have no preaching if we don't have no land. We have no preaching if we're not building that which is sustainable for a world. And Allah came to, again, make a universal change and build a world.
Well, before you go,
study group, but it's the world that we're building.
Yes, sir. Before you go, we got one caller in queue. Brother Rafi, you got an 803 online?
That caller is not in queue right now.
Oh, okay. Are they trying to get in queue or no?
It appeared for a moment, and then it just disappeared.
All right, then that's fine. Okay. Well, brother, the last question I have for you, beloved, is what jumps out at you the most so far in the five parts of the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in your own words.
Wow. You're asking me to find that diamond in a heap of diamonds.
The diamond in the diamond, yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, you know, I think that really what stands out is the overall call for us to take ownership of our future. And, you know, and to understand that we are part of something that is divine. This is not, he is not, the minister is not a black nationalist leader. And that's not to throw off on the nationalists. That's part. But he is somebody who is absolutely showing us that we are backed by the Lord of the worlds today. But there's a responsibility. We have to take ownership of that reality so that we can be beacons of light to a world that has gone totally mad, totally insane, and that we can be vessels of healing to those that will. You see, because Allah intends to make that universal change. The question is, you know, are we going to be in that great future, or will we go down with the enemy who is destined to go down because of their violation of the principles of righteousness? So it's hard for me to say what stands out, you know.
I got you.
I'm always listening for the global because, I mean, that's my particular personal interest, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes,
but,
sir.
But the overall theme, you know, and we have to be a global people. And I just want to say this as we close, that I'm encouraging the believers, don't look at yourself just in the city that you are in. We are taught that we are the original people and that we own every square inch of the earth. We own the best part and the poor part. We chose the best part for ourselves. But with that, but we own it all. So the key is, how do you look at yourself? And how you look at yourself will have a lot to do with how you walk with the man that God has set up in front of us as a lead to where God wants us to go. How do you walk with Farrakhan? How do you see Farrakhan? How do you view Farrakhan? And for those, again, who may not be his followers, just walk with us and, you know, look at it and consider. And as we say, you know, we like to say you could take it or let it alone, but before you let it alone, we want you to consider how God has always sent a vessel to be a bearer of witness to him and his power to change, and we become bearers of witness to him, and you know, and that power, that same power to change. So, a lot stands out that the minister has said, and it would, you know, it's like I said, it's like trying to pick a diamond in a heap of diamonds, and you know, but the overall theme is what it is.
Well, brother, I want to thank you again, sir, Brother Brian Muhammad, for coming out tonight and being at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with us. And, brother, please come back again. We got to do a part two. There's just so much going on right now on the international scene. We really just broke in the introduction, to be honest with you. So thank you again, beloved. I'll see you at the Webathon, beloved. And may Allah bless you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll talk again, sir.
Yes, sir. You and your audience, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May Allah bless all of you and your families.
Thank you. You too, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was Brother Brian E. Muhammad, contributing writer of the Final Call News. For all the soldiers out there, when you're out there soldiering this Final Call, that's what you're soldiering. Well, let's get on with our Boots on the Ground report. And let's go and say this. The question is raised. FOI means the fruit of Islam, the name given to the military training of the men who belong to Islam in North America. Military training implies tactics, maneuvers, going behind enemy lines of wickedness, rape, robbery, drugs, ignorance, violence, and self-hatred to establish a beachhead and proceed to take control. Tonight, we salute some of the cities who got their boots on the ground with the final call news and who are making a difference in helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the communities across America. Let's go down to Richmond, Virginia. The mighty soldiers of Richmond, Virginia got their boots on the ground. Salute to the soldiers in Richmond, Virginia, as they go out making a difference in helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Shout out, Richmond. Columbia, South Carolina. Yeah, you know Columbia, South Carolina. That's the Mid-Atlantic region again. Salute to the soldiers in Columbia, South Carolina, as they go out helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan restore and reform our people. Plainfield, New Jersey. Yeah, a lot of history in Plainfield, New Jersey. One day we got to talk about that. But shout out to the soldiers in Plainfield, New Jersey, as they're going out marching in the streets, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan save our people. Englewood, New Jersey. Shout out, soldiers. The soldiers are in the community. They got their boots on the ground. Got to acknowledge the soldiers. We salute you, soldiers. Keep up the good work. Let's move on across to the west side. Sacramento, California. The mighty soldiers of SAC got their boots on the ground, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan reach our people. Shout out, soldiers. Sacramento, California. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah, let's go down to Louisiana real quick and give a shout out to the soldiers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Soldiers down there are out with the final call, trying to reach our people, helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Tampa, Florida. Mighty Tampa, Florida. The soldiers in Tampa got their boots on the ground. Shout out to the soldiers in Tampa, Florida. Raleigh, North Carolina. Yes, Raleigh, North Carolina, the capital city of North Carolina. The soldiers in Raleigh got their boots on the ground. Shout out, soldiers. Come on back down to the southern region, to Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham got their boots on the ground. The soldiers of Birmingham. Shout out to the soldiers. Y'all keep up the good work, Birmingham. We got more work to do. And number one, fast moving, fast thinking, is Compton, California. Compton, California. The soldiers in Compton. Fast moving, fast thinking. Right down to the modern time. Compton, California is our number one city. They call it the 5-4. Muhammad's mind set before Compton. Shout out, soldiers. May Allah bless y'all to keep up the good work. All praise is due to Allah. Next week, we want to talk and go on the international scene with some of the soldiers who got their boots on the ground with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, that's our show for tonight. And we want to thank Brother Brian for being with us tonight, and thank all of you who are listening by way of the internet. Let's ride, Brother Rafi. We got to get on up out of here. It's the weather fine tonight. And we want to say, don't you go too far. No, don't go too far, because right after this, we got the Nation of Islam Webathon. You can go to www.noi.org. It starts in the next hour at 7 o'clock Central Time. You don't want to miss the Nation of Islam Webathon. It will be a treat tonight. Also next Saturday, join us and tune in to hear the divine message, the time, and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Part 6, you can go to www.noi.org at 6 o'clock Central Time. That's next Saturday at 6 o'clock Central. Also, on Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, join us and tune in to the Nation of Islam webcast at www.noi.org. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said these words, quote, "We want instant gratification, but you cannot be great without sacrifice," end quote. To help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan raise $10 million to help our people against poverty and want, go to www.noi.org and donate and help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to help us take our mouths out of the enemy's kitchen. It's the time and what must be done. If you're in Atlanta, stop by our mosque, Muhammad's Mosque, number 15. Yeah, that's my home. Come and hear a timely message by our student minister and representative of the Southern Region, Abdul Sharif Muhammad, at 3642 Camelton Road. Come on in, stop in, and shout out your brother. So all the soldiers out there, we got a few more days left before we march in to Chicago. Next week, we have disaster preparedness expert, Brother Rudolph Muhammad, who will show you how to prepare yourself in your vehicles to, in case of emergencies, accidents, or things of that nature. He's going to show you what you need to have in your vehicles as we travel forth in our vehicles to Chicago. That's next week at 8 o'clock Central Time. Now, next week also we will have our brother, Chief Magistrate Court Justice Brother Maurice Muhammad, will stop in and be at the roundtable to talk about gun control and the drone planes and the laws that they're trying to pass. And at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, we will have Brother Abel Muhammad from Mosque Maryam, Brother Tony Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque, number 29, and the attorney at law, Brother Kenneth Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia. That's next week. We love you, dear apostle, and we're going to continue to help by God's grace and power. The soldiers, the FOI, are going to be on the front line. We're going to move these papers, increase these papers, and go after our people and bring our people to you. May Allah bless us all. Happy Savior's Day. As-salamu alaykum.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.